I think visual journalism and the ability to experiment and be creative and think about just what it really means when TV does meet the web gives us, you know, that visual journalism gives us an amazing kind of impression of modernity and liveliness, and that's very important for the BBC as well. And then perhaps the most important thing is about understanding. It just, you know, that phrase, a picture tells a thousand words, is actually true very often. You just can get something from a piece of visualisation that sometimes, you know, you have to read three or four times to really get it from the words. So those are what I think visual journalism is all about for us and my team. So this was our biggest success. This was definitely a way of being very distinctive. This was the class calculator. I don't know if anyone saw that. Have you seen that? So I'm going to have a go at just showing you how it works. So you take a test, you fill in a little bit of personal information about yourself, and after a while it gives you a result, and your result is which of the new, I think it's 7 classes, you fit into. So instead of having just working class, middle class and upper class, which we've had for a very long time, you end up being an emergent service worker, for example, one of these new classes that are a huge project that was undertaken by the BBC to sort of relook at class in conjunction with several sets of academics. 161,000 people classified themselves. We did that, and we found that it really marked us out. We got 7 million page views for that across worldwide. It was the second most shared item the BBC did that whole year, which was 2013. And it really kind of made people think, oh, you know, the BBC do these kind of different things. And I think one of the most attractive things about it was that personal relevance. And you'll hear the words personal relevance in your area an awful lot. It's very, very important to make stories not just that are one size fits all, but we have the ability to make them personal and personally relevant to each person. So that was our biggest success, and we do a lot of different calculators now because we find they're a really good way of engaging the audience. But because we're multi-platform, cross-platform, we gave this calculator on a tablet to our media reporter, and he went out in the streets and he made a set of reports for all our TV channels. And here's a clip to show you some of that.
You can work out your own social class using a test on the BBC website. Do you know teachers?
Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah. Do you know any lorry drivers?
No.
Do you listen to classical music?
No.
Do you do any arts and crafts? Do you use Facebook or Twitter?
No.
Do you socialise at home? Do you invite people around? Yes. Do you go to museums and galleries?
Yes, we're on our way now.
You belong to a class, a newly defined class, called Emergent Service Worker.
Not of us are
you belong to a class which is described as the established middle class.
No one wants to be middle class anymore. There was a time everyone wanted to be middle class. But anyway, so why do we do that? We do that because obviously it's better value for money, but also look what happens to our website hits when we put our stuff on our TV channels. See those three peaks match the 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock news. So people are watching the television and they're going, blimey, I could have a go at that. And they did. So we often see a peak at lunchtime. You know that's desktop peak. But we never normally see peaks like that later in the day. So that's why we try and make things cross-platform. And as I said, we do a lot of different personal relevance projects these days. These are just a few of them. We do a budget calculator. We'll be doing that again for next month's budget. We do a fuel calculator. You can compare how much money you're paying for fuel with other places. We did one for the Commonwealth Games, which was which Commonwealth game are you best at? We had a lot of kind of tricky issues with the data in the early days, and when I first took it was rugby sevens was my favourite sport, and I thought it probably wasn't right. There was probably a little mistake in the methodology, so we redid it and I got badminton, which I think is probably much more my kind of thing. But this whole thing about making something personally relevant and giving people a takeaway, what they get at the end of it when they put that effort into doing it, is, you know, what Olympic athlete am I? What class am I? How much more money am I spending than you are? Modernity, very important. This is our science editor, David Shukman, and he's standing in a big green room. We have a big green room, which we use for virtual reality. And you can project anything you like onto this green floor and ceiling and walls. And in this case, he's doing a story about mining of the big deep sea vents, which are very mineral rich. And he's actually standing on the ocean floor, so to speak, with a big mining thing coming behind him. And he does a whole kind of piece to camera which explains how the mining works in a very visual and, you know, immediate way for the audience. And they really like it a lot. So we've put correspondents on Mars, as you'll see in a bit. We put them on the sea floor. What doesn't work is when you put them in a place that everybody knows they're not really there, like a house. Somebody came to me and said, we'd like to do a bedroom tax story. Can we, you know, create a virtual house and walk from room to room? And I said, why don't you just go and film it in a real house? Because the virtual house isn't going to be as detailed and look as good as a real house. Oh, yeah. So in they went and they did it in the real house. This is how to put a human on Mars. We won a World Digital Media Award and a European Digital Media Award and a Design Award for this. And this is the kind of classic way that we brought television skills together with online skills. And probably the most successful thing that we've done so far that's done that. I want to do more of this sort of thing. So this is a 3D model of Mars created by our TV 3D modeller. Took that onto the web, and one of our developers used WebGL to make it interactive so you, the user, can pick it up and spin it around. We also made lots of different chunked up videos, digital first, to explain what the spacecraft would be like, how you would survive the trip to Mars, because it's a very long time. We worked with these scientists from Imperial College on this, and these are actually two scientists. They're not actors, they're not journalists, who are loads better than some of those that we've got. And we built, this is in the virtual reality, we built in the big green room, a mock-up spacecraft, and look, they're having a great time now. They're really getting into it. And just explained all the science and technology behind actually doing the trip to Mars. It's much more complicated than you might think. So, modernity again, we've tried to really experiment this year with a lot of interactive video. So I think interactive video is right, kind of probably its time has not yet come, but we've really tried to be out there in front with lots of different firms and partner with them and try and do some really good experiments. So the first one we did, which was 18 months ago, was with a company called Wirewax, who are based in London. And this is the Deepwater Horizon disaster, and we, as you go through, interactive tags pop up and you click on them, the main video pauses and you get more information. It could be a more video, or it could be a graphic, or it could be a still, anything like that. That's the first one we did. Second one that we did was this, which is Mozilla Popcorn. It's the open source data code that we've used to create this. So we took that open source code and our own developers made it into an interactive timeline that you embed in the video, and then events happen as you watch the video that you can interact with. And here's kind of what happens. I haven't got any sound on this, so you can just look. So first of all, we had to make this video. We put some classic TV graphic style graphics on it. It's a kind of introductory bit. You'll see the timeline down the bottom that's chapterized up. I can just click around on those chapters and go forward or backwards if I want. But as we get through the introduction, the video gets pushed back into the corner, and then things start happening on the right-hand side that you can interact with if you want. You can also pause the main video if you want. We did this in the summer last year, and interestingly, we got a huge amount of feedback, like probably 400 comments, because we asked for them. And they said, oh, there might be a bit too much happening on the page in one go. And I had to kind of do it two or three times to get everything out of it. So the next time we did it, we actually stripped it down. And we did a kind of interactive interview, if you like. So it was just an interview happening in the screen, and then relevant graphics according to the answers popping up that you could then pause and interact with. And that has just won an innovation award because it was to do with child mortality in Malawi, and it won a medical innovation award. So we're very pleased that seemed to have worked. We really, you know, did that because of the audience feedback. A third type of interactive video that we're doing is with a New York startup called Touchcast. There's a public-facing Touchcast site, so you can go and do your own Touchcasts. BBC has a tie-up where they kind of version a player, so it looks more BBC. And this is our transport correspondent, Richard Westcott, doing the kind of anniversary of the 125. And again, this is an interactive video. He gets out of a train, he explains to the audience that this is actually an interactive video. And throughout this video, things are going to pop up on the screen that you can just click and interact with. And this is, we've done about 40 or 50 of these now. You'll find them on all sorts of different subjects, all sorts of different formats. I think it's fair to say we haven't quite cracked the right format yet. This is one of the things you can click on. It's a bit of archive. If you click on it, he pauses and you watch the archive. We haven't quite cracked the right format yet, and I think it's still a niche kind of interest, and it really does depend on you having a jolly good browser and a good computer to go with it. I love that man that he's got in his little aluminium can. Anyway, but it's really good for us to be kind of experimenting with all these different things. I think most people think, oh, did the BBC do that kind of thing? Well, we've done more of this stuff than anyone else has. We also do some in-house development. We call this Project 50p because that's how much it costs to do. And it's just basically an interactive tablet application that the correspondent can activate. You'll see that on things like Sky News, you know, when they do the papers and the presenter will kind of zoom from one paper to another. We're just taking it a little bit of a step further. You can see Paul Adams, our correspondent, using this on our news bulletin.
Clear as the maps might suggest, but if you look at this map of Ukraine, you'll see that in the west, by and large,
so he's actually putting these markers down on the map himself with the tablet.
Further south,
this is very scary if you're an editor of a program because you don't like to kind of let the correspondent rule the world too much. But he was very good and worked very well. Lots of trade-offs with television, you know, how much is he going to need to look down, how much is he not going to be as assured as he would be if he wasn't having to think about the graphics, versus how much more does it become a much more conversational kind of piece that appeals to people more. And so there's trade-offs, you know, works very well for geography and things like that, and military things. Maybe it works less well for other things. These are all kind of bits of innovation that we're doing. We do a lot of FOI work as well. This was an FOI about how old police officer recruits were across all the police forces across England and Wales. And it turns out that if you want to burgle somewhere, for example, the best place to do it is kind of North Wales and Cleveland, because the average age of their police force has got very old because they're not recruiting any young police people anymore. And this was found through FOIs. And I think, you know, once you understand that the darker areas are the areas that correlate to the oldest police force age, you can kind of look at it and get it in a heartbeat without having to really go into the detail of it. So that's a picture telling 1,000 words, I think. We also do a little bit of cross-platform branding, so that if you land on a web page, this was Mrs. Thatcher's funeral, it's the same branding that we use on television. Once our election coverage really gets into gear, if you look at online or you look at the telly, you will see that we're using exactly the same branding and design across all platforms. And these days, of course, we're not just designing for a desktop, we're designing actually mobile first. We're designing responsively, but we always look at the smallest first and how it will work on mobile. And as you probably know, the traffic on mobile is really, really rocketing, and also in the app. So it's really important that we keep thinking mobile first. We do a lot of data journalism as well. I don't know if you're very interested in data journalism. Some of them are very just simple visualizations of a big data set. This was about, you know, corrupt areas of the world. We do that a lot. We do more complicated things as well, but we always keep these principles in mind about the sources being really important. Also, making sure when you combine data sets, so you're not kind of falsely deducing a link between the two. It's very easy to do that. And also just checking that you're using the same columns as other people who are working on the project. Really, really easy to just make a little thing go wrong, and then that can make a big thing go wrong further down the project. This is one of our best data projects so far. This is the second year we're doing NHS Winter. It's a postcode search. You put in your postcode and it gives you the results of how your hospital, your local A&E, is doing compared with all the targets that the government has set. So I think it's fair to say lots of people in power were not terribly pleased that we were doing this project this year, because the performance is significantly worse this year than last year for a number of different reasons. But this took a lot of work, a lot of making sure we were using the right health statistics and making the methodology work. We also had to think about devolution, because obviously health is devolved. So that's a big success, and that's still running. That will be still active until the end of this winter. This is my favourite data journalism project, which was an American one, USA Today, in fact, from a few years ago, where they took all the measurements of air pollution, which I think about every 2 or 3 kilometres in America. They really, the EPA really do measure it a lot, and they plotted them against all the schools, the locations of all the schools. So you could put in the name of your little Johnny's school or your postcode, and find out what the pollution level was outside the school. So this, I think, caused quite a stir, and also won them lots of awards. So interesting what you can do with data. And as I said, mobile has overtaken PCs at the weekends, but now also during the week at certain times of day, particularly around the commuting areas. So thinking about mobile, that's where GoFigure came in. We wanted to make something that was completely mobile and social first. So we designed this on a lot of Photoshop templates mainly. We designed this to be something that we posted on Twitter and Facebook, Pinterest and Instagram. And we didn't really think it didn't have to be linked to some kind of GoFigure home on the desktop site at all. We made it specially for social and mobile. And it's really done well. I mean, we do two sorts. We do ones that involve design, as you can see, like the ultimate goalie. But the ones with Keanu Reeves and the koala are just done by journalists themselves with no design and no dev. We've created some templates that work across the different social media platforms. They just pick a still, pick a story, write some text, pick the background colour, bang, done. And we now have it in over 10 languages as well, so you can get it in Persian, Turkish, all that sort of thing. So I think social media is becoming increasingly important, and everything that we do, we tweet, we post, and we think about social media. And with the upcoming election, we'll be bringing out a new social media project just for the campaign. So look out for that. This slide doesn't look like it's worked, so I'll move on from that one. Finally, just to say, data can be fun. This was a fantastic project we did with Horizon. I don't know if any of you saw The Secret Life of Cats. It spawned a three-part follow-up thing that we also did some website stuff for. But obviously the cats get GPS trackers on their collars, and also 50 of them get cat cams. So you get the kind of cat eye view of their day, which is fascinating for a cat owner such as myself. But anyway, we took the data from the collars and we tracked it and mapped it so that you can find out where your cat goes and click on a cat and you get a little pen portrait and you get a little detail about it as well as the GPS data. And this is, I'm going to end with this. This is not for the faint-hearted, so if any of you are feeling a bit queasy today, I think you have to look away now. But this was Orlando. He was my favourite cat. And this was Orlando's contribution to our data project. Any cat owner will know what's about to happen. Look at the top of the screen. There's a tongue. You know what's going to happen. Every cat owner has felt this. Yeah. I think I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.